about the you're talking about the tracks and the about the pipes.
So his motor broke down. The guy that got the Bobby Beats, he'd have two entries to pull. He'd pull one entry and bring them empties back. Then he'd pull the other entry and he'd bring them empties back. Then he'd come up and take our coal that we gathered. We was gathering inside. See, with another motor.
Yeah.
He'd get our, bring us empties, or take our load out and then bring us empties back. And then he'd go, this way he'd work right around. See, well, his motor broke down. They had a spare and it was broke down. So Bob came up and asked me if I'd, you know, run my trip out. See, and we had all every car loaded in there. We waiting. See, and boy, we had a monster trip on that thing too. But with my narrow crease cut, those creases in those tires used to cut in there, gosh, as high as 3/4 of an inch sometimes. See,
they cut
where,
into the track.
You see, you got, and along those locomotives, you've got sandboxes, front and back. They travel or pull either way, you see.
Yeah, and, then you pour sand for traction.
You've got lever you pull. One for the front and one for the back, see?
Yeah, I see.
And you pull that, and that puts sand on the rail for grip, see? And, of course, now he had the wide rails, and his track, his tires were cut for the wide rails, which was okay. So he could travel on our tracks, but we couldn't travel on his to pull anything. I had to take the men out at night. And it was all right, you could handle that, see, because that wasn't that much of a load. But when I had that loaded trip on the back end of my motor, and I go down there, and all I had to ride on was the difference between his track and my track. This is the only thing I was riding on, see?
Yeah.
And I put sand on it, and all it did was pile up on the rail, see?
Yeah.
And I went down the hill, the hill we had to go down, and just as I was going down that hill, I see a machine runner pulling out with his machine on the entry, see?
Yeah.
And I hollered, "Look out, I can't stop, see?" Well, they reversed the thing, and it was hooked that they could run this trailer with off of their machine. See, they have a spline they put together, and then they could run and drive just like we could. So they could
help.
Those machines had more power than our motor did, in fact. We got stuck, and we couldn't get out. We'd get one of them guys to pull us out. But, and I hollered, and he couldn't, and they had a trailer where they wound up their cable on. See, as they backed out, this cable wound up automatically, and then all they did was hooked it off in the entry. There was no line run in there, see?
Yeah.
No trolley line. So they'd hook it on the trolley and one on the rail, see? And then they'd pull in, see? And went back up. Well, they had this all hooked up, and what they did, then naturally it would run, when they was in the trailer, it would run like our motor. It would give it its return through the wheel, see?
Yeah.
And then all they do is set on the back end of this trailer, and they got their hook, and they'd hold it. They wouldn't have no wheel, but they'd touch the trolley line and slide along the trolley line. That's how they traveled, see?
Oh, I see.
Well, they just got on the thing and they was going to travel when I hollered. They heard me, see, and they tried to pull this thing back in. Well, they got the machine in, but the trailer they didn't get in. I fixed that for them. Well, I smashed that thing to smithereens. I flattened right out, and I was going so darn fast, and the door was between those two entries. I hit that door, and I really ducked. I thought, well, here, this frame is coming out, see.
Yeah.
We had a good timberman there, and he really done a good job. Well, I'll tell you, that door stayed. That was quite, like I say, it was an experience. Well, those are the things you get. And I already had all my clothes right from here tore off, and you never got a scratch. And here I am, all one chunk.
How's that from?
Well, down that was down Chiwatts, and they had a place there where you go downhill, and it seemed to have done a dip like this in the hill.
Yeah.
And the cars, you see, they had links on, three links they had over the Chiwatts. You had three link hitches, see, and they just throwed in. They had a gooseneck, and the hitch and the links were fastened on this. And those links were, I'd say, probably
like
about 6 inches long. See, a chain.
Yeah, I see.
How they hooked the cars together. See, yeah. Then they had bumpers, and between the bumpers on the one side, your chain was a clevis, and you had one link this way and one link this way. See.
Yeah.
So we're hooking the neck on the other one. Well, a lot of times you have one link too long, or the car rides a little low, and that link will hit the ties that go across, and it'll unhook. See?
Yeah.
So this unhooked. Well, when I got that, I seen the darn cars run away. I knew they came together once more, see, before he went down to that big hill on the Dixie Highway, they called it.
Yeah.
And they really traveled down that one as fast as that thing would go, see? And you couldn't, they didn't even try to hold it. They just let it run off because everything was nice and straight, see? And so I crawled over the cars. You're supposed to hook an empty on the back of your trip every time you go out. That's a state law, see? You shouldn't ride a load. But if you had a nice bug duster, that road just like a Cadillac and a Ford, don't you know the difference?
Yeah.
So you get on the bug duster, you leave a car there to be loaded, and you don't have to drag the car back and forth for nothing. So I was riding on it, because I jumped over and I got on this other car and I picked up this hitch, this link, see? And I said, now when they come together, well, so pretty soon I'll put my hand on the other car and I throw that link in there and I missed it. And just as I missed it, he pulled the cars away, see? Now your motorman don't know what you're doing, see? Because
yeah,
you're way up there, you don't even see them half the time, see? everything is dark there, see. You only see his light or see your light, see. And I missed it. So, of course, when he pulled the cars away, I fell forward on the ground. I was running on my hands, and these cars were also picking up momentum, don't you see?
Yeah.
And I ran as fast as I could on my hands. I couldn't make it, so I just rolled off to one side, and the hubs, the shafts stuck out, and they caught my shirt and everything. I just went down right down to the side there, and they pulled everything. My shirt never got off, underwear and all. I never got a scratch.
There wasn't too much clearance in between them there.
No, there was no room. You didn't have much room, though. You had to find places to hide in order to pass. If a mortar came and you was a timberman or something, they all had holes every so far you could crawl in, but you had to know where they were, see?
Yeah.
And when I was first carried the right trip, it was about the third day, I guess, or second or third or fourth day. We was going in, and my buddy, we had a bum car or something, and every darn time you get in the low spots or something, she'd unhook, see? And the cars come together, and you not pull them, they come together, and the link would hang down, see? So a guy by the name of Staff Welton, he was a motorman following us in, see. But he was quitting time, and it was close to quitting time. We wanted to get one more trip, see. And of course, Staff, he wanted, everybody, like I say, they rush. They come there to work, and this is what they do. They work. They work for the company, and they're all for their benefit. And they're not out there bitching around like these guys today that they're doing, making one piece too much or something for a day's work. You never knew it. He worked all day. If he made 10 pieces, all right. If he made 100 pieces, all right, too.
Yeah.
And then that's the way it is down there. If you didn't haul enough coal, they hollered at you. But anyway, the cars came apart. So Staffy came around there and he waited. I said, run around and caught him before he hit us, and I stopped him. I knew that much already at that time. I only rode a couple of days. I didn't know where all the places were, see, to hide or anything. We went down there until we hooked it up. My buddy, he finally noticed I wasn't coming, so he backed up. So we hooked him back together, and away he went again. See, everybody in a hurry. So sure as dickens, we got another place that was downhill and was all water on the bottom. Always wet. That was pretty straight too. He was really cutting it loose. And all the ones, when you're going downhill, these cars come together, see? And when you pull them apart, I stayed there again. And Staff, this time he got mad, see? So he came down that hill and he hollered, look out that I can't stop. I didn't know where the hell to go. I sat there and in that car, didn't know where to go, see? So I jumped into the second car. I wasn't in the first car. But anyway, I laid right down in the car. That's the only place, the only thing I knew to do, see? I said, well, I get it or I don't, see? So I laid down in that car, and he hit her. And he set that car right up on end, and his motor stood right here. If he went another foot, he just smashed my legs all to pieces. That car got into the trolley wire, burnt the trolley wire in two, burned a crease in that metal about that far before it did. Those sparks flew all over. You could see me in the dark. That's how white I was. I was scared. And don't you forget I was scared. Well, Staff, he stuttered anyway, and boy, he stuttered there. He couldn't even talk. He said, he said, did you even heard? I said, no. So, of course, when we went up there, went up on top, when Al turned, well, neither one of us got a trip that time. You see down there, when they turn the power on, see, this throws the breaker up on top in the engine room, see? When you throw a short like that, it finally throws the breaker up in the engine room. And so the engineer up there, he goes and puts it back in, see? And out she comes again. And he'll do that three times. And if it don't stay, he leaves it out. And you can rest assured it won't go on again until he gets notification to turn it out. Yeah. The first time it goes out, he'll put it in, then it goes out, he'll put it in again, and then it'll go out again, and then he'll leave it out. So then we straighten everything out, and you sit there and you wait for that, see, because you know he's going to do that. Because a lot of times you're just pulling an overload, and too many guys pulling at one time
will throw the breaker. Then you'll wait and
then somebody will have to release and wait to let somebody get out in order to, because when you're pulling more than what that generator will make, well, then she'll kick out, see.
Yeah.
So he tries it that many times to see what it is, and if it comes out the third time, well, he leaves it out. Mm-hmm. Then we straight everything up, and neither one of us got a trip. We pulled our cars in and came out light. Well, then I said, oh, those are the days. One time down here in Chippewa, I was running spare motor. When the motorman didn't show up, I was pumping. Well, then I'd get on the motor, haul coal the rest of the day. So I start pumping there at 12, 1 o'clock in the morning.
What do you mean pumping, though?
Run the pump. Pump the water out.
Pump the water
out of the mine. Yeah. You had big lift pumps to pick up. You had a big sump on the bottom under the pump. And then if the sump got full, well, you had to start that pump and pump the water out. See, and then it'd run to the river out.
What did the mine sweat a lot under there?
No, there's water. Some places you get a lot of water, just leaks through the ceiling.
Yeah.
I sat there and waiting for a sump, a hole to go dry. You know, you got a valve in every low spot. You have a valve. You open it up. It's got a strainer. And then you turn it on, and some of them you wait for, see? And you sit there and wait for that to go dry. And of course, you got other pumps, other things. But you know which one goes dry first, and that's where you are. Because the minute that hits air, your pump don't pump nothing. See, it takes the easy course, of course. And you sit there, and those pillars that they leave there to hold the earth up, they crush, you know. And that little pebble of coal that fly off on that pillar would hit you in the face, but it was like somebody hit you with a BB gun for you. That's how that would sting. So you get kind of scared of that. So you move over a couple hundred feet just so it'll help. Yeah, it's interesting. But there, when I was running motor there one time, I was coming out of the fifth west over here down this way, and behind that house, you had a fifth west, and that was third or fourth of the road, fifth and sixth up there. And he didn't show up that day, that motorman. He lived right up here, down John Smith. So I got on the motor, and I'm hauling coal. I was coming out of the fifth, and there was a kind of a hump just as you came out of the entry. And you got a frog in your track, what they call it, you know, where the one track goes this way and the other one goes this way,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And then you got your switch you throw, see?
Yeah.
And of course, I come out of there and you had to get this just right, see? Of course, I wasn't too used to it, I didn't run it. He could. You had to pull down there just right so when those cars broke over the hill that they didn't hit you, you know, on the top, see? You had to kind of stay away from the hitch on the bottom and hold your motor up, see?
Yeah.
Well, then it would go around. Well, they hooked me on the top and my motor jumped the frog and went right straight. It didn't follow the tracks. Well, by the time that motor hit that wall, I was about 150 feet down that track. See?
Running?
Yeah, that's how quick I got. I just let her go, but I took off. I said, honey, if you're going that way, you're going on. She hit that old rock wall and stopped right there. I was nope. And that whole motor was covered up with coal. You see, that's why I left. That car,
yeah,
when that stopped, the other car was pushing and buckled it right over, see? My brother, he was pit boss then, yeah, he was boss now. He came over there and he said, brother, what's the matter? Of course, the car got in the trolley, in the knocked the power out. See, he came in there and he said, you get hurt. I said, no, I wasn't afraid of that at all. But I was quicker than the wing. See, that's one thing I was quick. I could never, wasn't good at fighting, but I could show it out. Well, them were the good old days.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Well, this is exciting. Today, you could give me $100 a day and I don't even want to go down and see one of them.
Yeah, you had your film. Why do you think the coal mining era came to an end? We were talking about it before. But.
Yeah, well, there isn't anything worth, you know, putting a hole down for, see. In fact, this mine here, years ago, my brother wanted to operate this mine. He owned all this property here, see.
Yeah.
And he got the coal rights and everything, most of it, and he was going to operate it, and he was going to have the superintendent from Shiawassee Mine here, old Alf Westwood. Somebody should know him around here. He worked in the mine all his life and got run over the car on West Michigan. He got killed. Now, this is something, isn't it? He was a very, very nice guy. Him and I used to come down Shiawassee there, and I was hauling out of the pillars down there, see, they were pulling pillars. They lift up the earth, sink in, because they had about 4 foot of coal there, and that was cheap coal, see?
Yeah.
And, of course, I didn't have no trip rider, see? And I had seniority there. All right of ways, if I came out with a trip and the other motors had to stop to see if I was coming, if I wasn't coming, they could pull a hook for their trip, see, and unhook and go back in. But if I was coming, they had to wait so I could unload mine and go back in, see? And I used to take about 10 cars at the most, see? And Elk Wester, he'd be in there, the superintendent. He came down to mine every day. He was always down there. He was a great, big, tall, skinny guy. And he came out there, and he helped me switch all my cars. So you had to get them all. I pull them in, then you have to get them all behind, see? So you can hook, get your loads pinned in behind. So you switch them in all in different places, and then those guys bring out loads, and you hook them on your motor. See? And if they can't push them, you go and help them. Well, he'd help me switch all my cars out, and then he'd get out a can of cigarettes or a can of Prince Albert, see, that's what they sold out in mine there, and a package of paper, and I'd have to roll him cigarettes. He couldn't roll his cigarettes. He smoked a pipe always. I'd smoke him a cigarette, and I would roll him a cigarette, and I'd roll me one. You couldn't have tailor-made there. They wouldn't last you 5 minutes. Okay. Now they take away them guys smoke more off on you. So I'd roll him a cigarette, then he'd tell you stories. One time, I'll put this on it, he told me a story. He says, Teddy says, you know, one time there was a guy, he says, he'd come over, he says, he wanted a job. He says, South Saginaw, he says, and boy, he says, you know, I dug coal, I can dig more coal than any guy you got in the mine. I'll guarantee I can dig as much or more than any man. It's all right, if you come to work Monday, he says, we need diggers. So he says, and I was talking a while, and he said, well, he says, Alfie, he says, you know, I got a brother-in-law, I can dig coal too. I can dig as much coal as I can. He says, well, he says, bring him on. He says, another. Oh, yeah, and I talked about it. He says, I got a father-in-law. He's a real good digger. Hell, he'll dig more coal than the both of us put together. Well, I'll tell you what, you tell your father-in-law to come to work, he says, you two guys stay home.
No, that's pretty good.
Yeah. But he used to bum me out. He fired me, I guess, 100 times down that Pullman pillar. I go too fast, you know. And he said, Teddy, he said, you just look way out there. You see, I bet you that was up there 20 feet. It was all timber. this yeah. way, timber on top timber. You see where they chopped the bottom out, you know, to straighten the road out?
Yeah. yeah.
And that was all old works. See, that old rail that was in there hasn't been repaired for, I bet you, 10 years or 15 years, see? Is the only thing that's holding these rails here, he says, is the dirt. He said, if ever you pull these out, knock one of these timbers out, he said, going to be flowers for you. He said, now the next time, he says, I catch you and running that motor too fast down here, he says, you're going on top. That meant he was fired, see. Yeah. So I would go over a couple of days, maybe a little while, you know, and then when I see Westwood going out for lunch, you know, and then I'd give her hell. Those guys had to have cars, see, they buy me all my cigarettes. I ever paid you, I'd get a carton of cigarettes, you know, I'd get them all the cars I could, see.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted. And so I wasn't married then. We had a good time. But he'd come around, every once in a while I could see that old, he'd sit behind, hide behind those big timbers, see. And then he'd come out, first thing I see that light going back before I see, that's really good. Now this is the last time this is on town. So it was the last time.
That kept up for years and years.
That was the last time he told me. But the next time he told my dad, he said, you better tell that guy something. He's going to kill himself. My dad said, I don't kill himself, Alf. He said, don't worry about that guy. He said, he got nine lives. He's like a cat. So he never bothered me no more. You know?
But they couldn't, you're saying that they couldn't even break even towards the end. That stuff because...
If the coal isn't high enough, they have to shoot too much rock. You see, they don't have room to put all this rock, especially like out of entries. You have a lot of places you don't have no what they call where they throw their rock. A lot of places they got like in rooms that generally can get rid of this rock. See so much. Yeah. That's why they get paid footage instead
take
of by
the
pound.
And then you got room.
They got room to put the rock, but in the entries you don't always have room. See, so they got to haul it out. Well, if the coal isn't high enough, it doesn't pay them. See, there isn't that much profit in it. And this is the whole thing here. There's any areas of any size. They may have some coal here that would be 4 feet or 3 feet, but it would be such a small area that it wouldn't pay them to sink the shaft for it, see?
Demand.
It costs tremendous to sink one of those shafts down there, you know.
Yeah,
I think it's slow work.
Demand for the coal isn't so much
today. The demand probably, the price to get it for coal today, see, when I burn coal here yet, see, and it costs us $32 a ton. We used to buy it here for four something.
Yeah.
Of course, that coal that I get from there burns longer than this was. This was what they call a flashy coal here. See, high gas content.
Yeah.
This coal they had is soft coal. See.
Do they work any of these mines around here anymore?
I don't think there's a mine running around here. No. The last mines they had around here was over around St. Charles. They had some of these one man jobs there. They had one mule down there probably hauling the coal out.
Yeah.
And I never worked one of them. I know one time when I was pumping over here with that too. I quit here, I guess, that time. And a guy from Unionville, I forget what my Unionville miners was, they called me, I wanted to know if I wanted a job over there, see? That's after this shut down here, pumping water. And so a guy told me, he said, you don't go down there? He said, boy, they haul more water up there than they do coal. But I went out there anyway and seen the guy, and I said, oh, I could have good, well, you take me down, show me what the score is down there, you know? No, I said, well, you come to work Monday, he says, I'll show you around. I said, I'm not coming to work Monday. You take me down, or you can shove this up your rear end.
Yeah.
I would go down there. Place unless I seen what I was going to do, you know. And so I didn't. That was the end of the coal mine for me. Well, the end of everything just. There was a few mines, small dinky mines, less than St. Charles after that for a while. But that was all that I know of. See, I don't know if there's any around now, any at all around now. You can't even go buy your own mine rail anymore. Years ago, we used to mine rail. You know, I used to put cisterns in. But I got cistern out of my garage, and you put that heavy rail across. See, every 16 inches or so, you know, a couple of rods this way. Well, you could buy the old mine rail cheap, see?
Yeah.
But you know, you can't buy
it. Well, they lift all that stuff down there? Just
no, they pull the iron out. All the iron they can out. We pulled it out of here, too. I helped pull the iron here. And what I'm telling you, sometimes you bet, even they have steel bars across a lot of times, you know.
Yeah.
Like rails up there, even T-iron or something to hold up some of that earth, it's pretty heavy, see?
Yeah.
And they try to get all that out, too, see? Of course, you leave, but you can't get you leave. You're not going to, you know,
it's not worth it.
It ain't worth it. No, a lot of times you take I know I was running the motor there when they was pulling this stuff out here, and you take a chain and they knock these posts off as far as they're there. See, then they put a chain on that thing just with a hook.
Yeah.
And then you take a hook it on the motor and with a long chain and you reef it out. See,
yes.
Well, sometimes you reef it out, but everything comes with it. So you're lucky you get your chain out of the things because the chain generally would slip off anyway.
Yeah.
But then you pull that up with iron didn't come, so you just leave it. You don't dig for it, you just leave it. But the rails, he took those all out right ahead of the motor, see, right behind the motor. Every time they had a length, he'd pull out that rail and go by there and put it on the car.
Well, Thank you for doing this for us.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay.
That concludes the first interview with Ted Walderzak on coal mining in the Saginaw area.